The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Order, please. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our teachers have been very clear they no longer trust this Premier. Mr. Speaker, they don't trust him as a negotiator, they don't trust him to address our classroom needs, and they don't trust him to do what's right for our students. In fact, to quote from teachers directly, they don't have faith in this Premier. They don't trust him to do what's in the best interest of our education system. So I'd like to ask the Premier, why is it that Nova Scotia teachers no longer trust him?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. And I want to remind him that our government had negotiated three collective agreements with the executive of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, two different executives, I might add. Mr. Speaker, we were at the bargaining table each time. We made adjustments to the deal that was on the table. Most recently, when they rejected it, the union made it very clear they're going back to work to rule. Mr. Speaker, the decision today is to act to make sure that activities in classrooms are meeting the needs of our students.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
That's a lot of work, Mr. Speaker, but all the Premier's managed to do is alienate the teachers of the province. There's no classroom improvements for him to point to. There's no agreement that's been negotiated in good faith so they can get back to work, Mr. Speaker, beyond the work that they're already doing now. All the Premier has managed to do is tear apart the government and the teachers and destroy the working relationship that parents and students need there to be if we're ever going to see classroom improvements, Mr. Speaker. How does the Premier ever expect to move forward with real classroom reform when he's destroyed his working relationship with the province's teachers?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I look forward, Mr. Speaker, to continuing to work with classroom teachers across the province, Mr. Speaker, many of whom I represent. Looking forward to continuing to make sure that we make investments in those classrooms. We continue to make those. I've made it very clear, Mr. Speaker, the investments we've made obviously have missed the mark in the minds of some teachers. I'm looking forward to the committee on classroom conditions when we'll have nine teachers from across the province who will speak directly to the issues in their classroom. We have $20 million on the table to make those investments, Mr. Speaker, and we'll continue to make those investments in classrooms to improve the learning conditions for students and the working conditions for teachers.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
The very fact we're here in this session is proof that the teachers no longer want to work with that Premier. That's the problem, and we need them to work together. Mr. Speaker, the fact we're here is an admission of failure that the Premier can't work with teachers to make classrooms better, so he has to force his way using this legislature, Mr. Speaker. That's the problem. Teachers themselves have said, and I quote, "If the Premier is capable of misleading our members about 2 development days than he is capable of misleading parents about the very $20 million that he just mentioned, Mr. Speaker. Teachers don't trust him. I'd like to ask the Premier, how can parents trust him to do what's right for our education system when clearly teachers do not?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member. There was no mistake, Mr. Speaker. Those 2 days for marketing prep that directly to deal with the issues that teachers talked about, Mr. Speaker. There's no vacation, Mr. Speaker. There are no additional vacation days. They were directly related, Mr. Speaker, to prep and working conditions in those classrooms. Continuing to work with teachers across this province, Mr. Speaker. Continuing to respond. I'm looking forward to the teachers coming across this province, sitting down, so we continue to address the issues that are faced in their classrooms.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, my question too is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, in his statement on Friday, the Premier said that the recent tentative agreement showed he wanted to work with teachers. I think the Premier may be a bit confused. I don't think the parents and the teachers and the students standing outside this legislature tonight feel that the Premier is on their side. Mr. Speaker, will the Premier explain to Nova Scotians how legislating a contract is his idea of working with teachers?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to tell Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Member, and people listening, Mr. Speaker, that I understand the frustration that people are feeling across the province. The fact that the former government cut $65 million out of classrooms, Mr. Speaker, without batting an eye, we've been reinvested that funding, Mr. Speaker. I've acknowledged, and teachers have said, Mr. Speaker, that that those investments have missed the mark. We've heard that from them. We're looking forward to sitting down to work with them so they continue to address the issues that they face, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the wage pattern in this legislation was rejected by the teachers in December 2015. The government is going back on improvements that were made at the bargaining table. The government is kicking teachers while they are down. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Premier, why did he decide to use legislation to punish teachers for their rejection of tentative agreements?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. If you looked at the deals that were presented, that were agreed to, Mr. Speaker, at the bargaining table by the executives and Nova Scotia Teachers Union, the deal he's referring to has received 40% support from teachers across the province. We looked at the issue, Mr. Speaker, in and around improving classroom conditions. We heard from teachers that they wanted to have a voice at the table. What's in this bill is, Mr. Speaker, 9 teachers from across the province representing elementary, junior high, and senior high will actually have a direct voice on the table. For the first time, Mr. Speaker, in the history of this province, the Premier is talking about the fact that we need to have an
order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, we need to have a meaningful discussion about inclusion. Mr. Speaker, I think all of us believe in an inclusive school. The model that we're using is not working, Mr. Speaker, for parents, for students. We're prepared to have that conversation. If they look at the bill, the timeline has been shortened, Mr. Speaker, that we can continue to make those investments. And let me be clear, at any point that we can continue to make those improvements, we'll do so.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the Premier said he's done some soul searching. But no doubt there are other Liberal MLAs who are doing also some soul-searching of their own about whether or not they can support this bill. These Liberal MLAs may have family or friends who are teachers, teachers who have rights that have been trampled on by this misguided piece of legislation. So, Mr. Speaker, I ask the Premier, will the Liberal MLAs be allowed to vote their own free conscience on this Bill 75?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I have family or teachers, Mr. Speaker. One end of this province to the other, Mr. Speaker. This bill is about getting back to some normalcy in classrooms. This bill is about whether or not you're going to continue to allow work to rule to impact education. That's your choice.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, the government is responsible for ensuring the academic success of our students. When students do not receive the best possible education in our schools, they are less competitive after graduation, and it puts your future in jeopardy. Where students are not held accountable for poor academic performance, failure to attend class, disruptive behavior in class, it affects outcomes for all students. It is the responsibility of this government to ensure teachers are empowered to maintain a strong academic standard in our schools. My question through you to the Minister, will the Minister admit that a failure to hold Nova Scotia students accountable is damaging academic outcomes?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. As a teacher, both of us would recognize that holding students to a high standard is something that every teacher does in this province, and they hold the students to a standard that they know is within the student's ability to achieve. That's what brings success for our kids.
The honourable member for Pictou Centre on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, this government's refusal to empower teachers is selling short the future of Nova Scotia's children. No student can benefit from being passed to the next grade when they have not met academic requirements. Question to the minister. Will the minister inform teachers in writing that students are accountable, that the impression everyone passes is not correct?
The honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe that the member opposite was at the briefing today, and I believe he should have heard about the letter that will be going to all school boards and the conversation that's already been had about the myth of a no-fail policy. That letter is certainly something that school boards and superintendents will be sharing with their teachers. Where the notion of no-fail came from is something that we cannot find. Boards have policies of retention, promotion, and placement. Those are the responsibility of the principal, and that's where those decisions are made.
The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the concerns that parents, students, and teachers have raised loud and clear is overcrowding in the classroom. As the new semester started, we heard about many high school classes with 35 and 40 students, students sitting on the floor until new desks could be brought in. Introducing class caps in all grades is a concrete step the government could take to show that they've actually heard what teachers are saying. So, Mr. Speaker, would the minister agree today to introduce class caps in all grades?
The honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, people are speaking to the bill. There was a briefing today. Class caps is very much a part of that bill.
The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, it seems to me the minister is just avoiding the question, and I wonder if she has also heard of alternative facts, since she and the premier seem to be quite full of them. But the minister plans to establish a committee, we've heard, and it's not the same as capping class sizes. In New Brunswick, the agreement with the Teachers Federation has an article that specifically addresses class size for all grade levels. It defines the normal class size as 26 students with no class size exceeding 29. I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. So can the minister explain why this can be done by a Liberal government in New Brunswick, but it can't be done by a Liberal government in Nova Scotia?
Just before the minister answers, I'd like to ask the honourable member to retract the phrase full of alternative facts. The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if that's in the dictionary yet, but I will retract it.
Thank you. The honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We certainly have acknowledged class sizes. One of the first things the teachers' union spoke to me about 3 years ago was the class size issue. We have capped classes from primary up to the end of grade six. And as we have stated, as funds allow, we will move that cap beyond grade 6 into grade 7, up to grade 12. And as I said, very much a part of the bill that was introduced today.
The honourable leader of the official opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Premier. Mr. Speaker, the Premier asked you to call us into emergency session today because he failed to work out something reasonable with teachers, even on the basics of classroom reform. The fact of the matter is that he didn't listen to teachers or parents or students or anyone who was telling him that we needed to have real, meaningful change in our classrooms, Mr. Speaker. Had he done that, we would not be here today, Mr. Speaker. In fact, instead, we'd have something positive to debate instead of the bill that is coming before us later, Mr. Speaker. I would like to ask the Premier, why are there no specific classroom reforms for us to debate in this emergency session of the legislature?
The honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the honourable member's question. I want to remind him, Mr. Speaker, our government actually negotiated the bargaining table, three different agreements with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker, that went back. I think he should, if he's been paying attention, Mr. Speaker. Classroom teachers across this province have told us they want to have a voice at the table. They obviously felt that voice has not been at the table for them. We've now set a practice, Mr. Speaker, where teachers from across the province, 9, 3 at the elementary, 3 at junior high, 3 at senior, can be part of putting on the table the direct impacts in their classrooms, and we're prepared to work with them to continue to improve classrooms.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, a committee is not an improvement in our classroom. A commission, a study, whatever you want to call it, the Premier can throw $10 million at it. He can throw $20 million at it. He can use it as a bargaining chip. But not a single real classroom reform is coming to this House, Mr. Speaker. That is the problem. That is the failure that he's asking you, sir, to cover up for. He didn't listen. That's why we're here. Why does the Premier refuse, after 18 months of talking to teachers, to bring a real example of a classroom reform to the floor of this legislature so we can do something positive for our students?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. If he doesn't want to listen to teachers, Mr. Speaker, that's his prerogative as a member. This government is going to listen to teachers.
Order, please. Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We drive an avenue for teachers to come in, continue to make sure we improve classroom conditions. The teachers across the province have told us they want to have a talk, Mr. Speaker, about the fact of inclusion in their system. Teachers have said they support in principle the issue of inclusion in our schools, but the model that we're using is not working. We're prepared to work with those teachers, Mr. Speaker, to continue to improve working conditions and classroom conditions, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, 3 years in office, 18 months of negotiations, 2 years since the Freeman Report came out that started the conversation about these things, and this Premier asked teachers to trust him because he wants to start to talk about things that they've been asking for real action on for all that time, Mr. Speaker. No wonder the teachers put out a press release saying they don't trust this Premier. The time for committees is over, Mr. Speaker. The time for action is now. We wouldn't be here if the Premier had taken that action, Mr. Speaker. We wouldn't have this session if the Premier had taken some action. Mr. Speaker, will he at least admit the fact we're here with a bill to force a contract is an absolute example of failure on his part to get the job done in our classrooms?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to remind him, Mr. Speaker, that we have three tentative agreements that were negotiated, Mr. Speaker, with two separate executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Mr. Speaker, at their bargaining table, obviously teachers have responded to what their executive has taken back to them. Mr. Speaker, today is responding to the fact that work the rule is impacting students. We know that began in early December. It's impacting students and their education. This bill brought forward puts a contract back in place, but also provides an opportunity for teachers across the province to become involved in making sure that their direct input is at the table when it comes to improving classroom conditions that, Mr. Speaker, that they want to see happen and our government wants to see happen.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, teachers should have been involved all along in these discussions about the table, not just in the last few weeks as the Premier couldn't get the job done, Mr. Speaker. The fact is that now he wants to start a committee, Mr. Speaker. Well, it's too late. The trust is gone. Any confidence is gone, Mr. Speaker. No wonder that the teachers themselves said this is a Premier who knows the cost of everything and the value of nothing. So I'd like to ask the Premier, what's the cost of fighting teachers to no end, Mr. Speaker, and what's the value that's being lost by his inability to bring forward a real classroom reform for us to work on here this week?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to remind him he's been in the House, Mr. Speaker. Every budget that I've tabled in this House had invested more money in education, Mr. Speaker, at every time that I've gone.
Order, please. Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
We continue to invest in classrooms across this province. Mr. Speaker, we've negotiated three different agreements at the bargaining table with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. We continue to believe in classrooms. We continue to believe in teachers, Mr. Speaker. We provided part of this bill as an avenue for classroom teachers, Mr. Speaker, to be able to make that continue to help us make those improvements in classrooms.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, this government's track record with contract negotiations has been marked with protest and heavy-handed legislation. In 2014, this government recalled the legislature in order to pass a law preventing a strike from home care workers. In 2015, we saw university professors mobilizing against Bill 100, a terrible piece of legislation that would see collective agreements suspended and strikes banned for up to 18 months. Mr. Speaker, the longer we give this government, the more it seems their relationship with workers in this province goes from bad to worse. So I'd like to ask the Premier, will he finally admit that the government's approach to labour negotiations has failed?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable for the question. I want to remind him 10 bargaining units have accepted the agreements at the table. Our government has negotiated 3 separate agreements with 2 different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker, all at the bargaining table, continuing at the bargaining table. There are other partners looking to find a resolution come forward. But I must tell you, Mr. Speaker, these are never easy discussions. These are never easy when the employer and employers at the table, when we're talking about money and how do we continue to improve working environment and working conditions. We're making those investments. There's money on the table. There has been money on the table. There will continue to be money on the table, Mr. Speaker, and we'll continue to listen to workers and those that represent them, continue to try to make the best investments we can.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
I think workers of the province would think differently, Mr. Speaker. According to the Public Service Commission website, the government has 313 expired contracts with public sector workers in our province. After 3 years, Mr. Speaker, it's clear that this government does not support collective bargaining. The Premier has said that the financial package is non-negotiable and has come to the table with Bill 148. In his back pocket, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the Premier, will the Premier tell this House if he plans to legislate contracts on all public sector workers rather than negotiate in good faith?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable for the question, and I want to tell him we're continuing at the bargaining table with a number of our sister organizations, continuing those conversations. We're going to continue to do so, looking for a deal that satisfies those members as well, that can satisfy the government, Mr. Speaker, and the taxpayers of Nova Scotia. I continue to look forward to those conversations.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Education. It's been reported that the committee looking at classroom improvements will have access to $10 million per year, and I believe she said that in the technical briefing earlier today, and that it can recommend expenditures up to $250,000 per issue. Now, we didn't hear the $250,000 mentioned in this morning's technical briefing, but we did hear it mentioned repeatedly over discussion of what's been called TA3. Mr. Speaker, would the minister confirm whether the $250,000 limit is correct, and would she release the letter referenced this morning in the technical briefing regarding these expenditures?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Formed a committee where teachers would be able to come in and give us some advice on what we should be doing in order to make improvements in the classroom. We wanted to make sure that there was a commitment of money there to fund whatever those recommendations were. We have put $10 million on the table each of the 2 years. However, we recognize that if those recommendations are more than $10 million, if they're things that we believe will improve the classroom, which teachers are telling us they should, then we will look to find those funds out of our budget.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the Minister did not respond to the $250,000 limit, which was widely reported over the past couple of weeks, a number which I might add is only one quarter of the amount that was budgeted to fix a terminal and wharf in Portland, Maine. Mr. Speaker, I wonder if the Minister would explain why she has set up a committee on a number of issues that can actually be addressed immediately, such as ensuring that classrooms have enough EPAs to address the students with IPPs, a lot of acronyms there, or that they have actually the proper supports in terms of attendance, in terms of discipline, and ensuring that when teachers and students get assaulted in classrooms, that the supports are there for them. Why is there a committee to deal with that rather than dealing with those immediately?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would remind the member that we did have a province-wide code of conduct, which we approved and was forwarded out to all schools to be followed. That question of a teacher being assaulted is certainly something that would be covered under the code of conduct. That was something that we did because we had a variety of codes of conduct, inconsistencies, and when you move from one school to another, one board to another, there was a different code. We took the initiative to have a provincial code of conduct, and there's certainly very clear steps as to what teachers or students or any workers in the school do if they've been assaulted.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Municipal Affairs. Mr. Speaker, in 2013, while in opposition, the Minister of Municipal Affairs expressed some very strong views about the collective bargaining process on behalf of the Liberal caucus. He said at that time, collective bargaining is a fundamental process by which employers and employees are able to reach contracts together There's a balance of power within that relationship that the collective bargaining process keeps and ensures that the outcome is fair. Very intuitive words, Mr. Speaker, from the Minister of Municipal Affairs. Maybe that was then, and this is now. What's changed, Mr. Speaker? I'd like to ask the Minister of Municipal Affairs, does the Minister stand by his previous comments?
The Honourable Minister of Municipal Affairs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and of course I do. And I've watched, as this process has unfolded, three contracts that were negotiated. I've taken it upon myself to meet with teachers in Yarmouth. I've heard their concerns, and I truly believe that their concerns and priorities in the classroom are reflective in the priorities of this Working Conditions Committee. And I also believe that teachers wanted to be on that committee to ensure that their voices were heard and that they could have an impact, because they have felt they have been without a voice. And I'm very happy that they are on that committee and that they will be able to contribute to this process.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Mr. Speaker, that same day, the Minister went on to defend the collective bargaining process and guaranteed the Liberal stance. He guaranteed it. He said, that's what this caucus will continue to support, a fair collective bargaining process where the balance of power is in the middle, where neither side has an advantage over the other, and where each side is able to use the tools in their employ to ensure their position is properly reflected. A balance of power. Maybe the Minister is not aware of Bill 148, which was enacted before these negotiations start. Maybe he wasn't aware of the Premier touring the province saying, here's the wages, all you can get, before the negotiations. So I'd like to ask the Minister, how does he reconcile Bill 148 with what he just said?
The Honourable Minister of Municipal Affairs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I do appreciate the question. I'll remind the member opposite that collective bargaining did happen three times here. There was three contracts that were negotiated that were supported by the union and by government. These contracts were supported by both parties, Mr. Speaker, and I think no one's happy about the current situation, but we need to find a way to move forward. We need to find a way to ensure that kids are our priority, because I know that through the course of this, it's their voices that have been missing at that table.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In 2013, the Minister of Energy lectured the government of the day about the negotiating with the public sector unions, and he said, quote, when government says everything was done and we had no choice, that rings hollow. Because of the fact that the parties haven't been at the table for a week, there are no discussions, there are none taking place, and yet we are bringing in this regressive type of legislation. Some have referred it to back-to-work legislation. It's not back-to-work legislation, because there is no strike. No one has stopped working. This is anti-strike legislation from an NDP government. Call it for what it is. So the Minister of Energy was very correct in opposition. So I'm wondering, the question to the Minister of Education, did the Minister of Energy advise the Minister of Education that she should refer to this bill as regressive anti-strike legislation?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I agree with the Honourable Member that I was correct.
Yeah, the Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
And you're still right.
Yet, Mr. Speaker, he's wrong now. During the debate, the Minister of Energy was reflective about his role, the role employees would have on their own contracts. And he said, I want to make it clear, it is not my place to judge what's good or what's not good for paramedics. Paramedics are to make that decision. That's why we have collective bargaining. And he concluded by saying, Mr. Speaker, we should be reluctant to judge what paramedics have done or how they've chosen to go through this bargaining process, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who must look after the interests of their families, the well-being of their children, and their own future. The decisions that they make are theirs, and we certainly respect their ability to make those decisions. So my question to the Minister of Education, does the Minister believe that teachers should be held to a different standard that her party held paramedics in 2013?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think anyone who knows my background, my commitment to the profession, and my years of experience as a teacher, that I certainly respect and have great admiration for every teacher in every classroom.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if it's just me or if anyone else is having a powerful sense of deja vu. I remember it so well, the protests, the legislation, the overwrought disappointment from that side of the House. But if I recall correctly, the last time it seemed it was much ado about nothing. Mr. Speaker, my question's to the Premier. This time, does he, in fact, have the support of all his caucus members to pass this misguided legislation?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, Mr. Speaker.
Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor. The incessant heckling is starting to get to me. So if we can just let the question be answered, we'd appreciate that. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I might add, Mr. Speaker, this is the first question that I've received from the member since she's come back to the House, and I want to, on behalf of our caucus, tell her how proud I am to see her sitting in the Senate. Speaker, I also want to tell her, Mr. Speaker, that all members of this caucus have been out listening to teachers, been out in their communities talking to teachers, Mr. Speaker. She would know we've negotiated three different agreements, two different executives, Nova Scotia Teachers Union. These are challenging times for teachers, for schools, for students. They've listened, Mr. Speaker. We've listened to their concerns. We've listened to teachers. This bill reflects that. Mr. Speaker, I hope we can garner the support of the member as we go forward so that we continue to make those investments in classrooms.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would like to thank the Premier for his kind, thoughtful words. Mr. Speaker, we have heard welcome news from constituents of the member of Cape Breton Centre that he will not be supporting this bill. So I would ask the Premier, can you confirm that the member for Cape Breton Centre will be voting against this legislative contract?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. It gives me an opportunity to actually express my great appreciation to the member from Cape Breton Centre. Speaker, continue to go to meet with his constituents, meet with teachers, meet with parents, meet with members of the community, make sure that those voices and their concerns are being brought back to the table, Mr. Speaker. He knows that we've negotiated three different agreements with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. He's heard the frustration of teachers, Mr. Speaker, about this whole process. He recognizes, and teachers have told him, they want to get back to some level of normalcy in this classroom, but they also want to make sure that their voices are being heard as we continue to make improvements in classrooms. And I want to thank the Honourable Member for his continued commitment and support.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Premier. In the past, the Premier had a lot to say about labour relations in our province. In fact, he said, the Liberal caucus will not support legislation that takes away workers' right to strike. And I can table this, Mr. Speaker. He went on to say, we were the first opposition party to publicly declare our position, and we will keep our word to Nova Scotians. Mr. Speaker, why did the Premier say one thing in opposition and do the exact opposite once he was Premier? Why did he break his word to Nova Scotians?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to remind her, Mr. Speaker, that we've negotiated three separate agreements, two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. At no time, Mr. Speaker, if they wanted to strike, they could have taken a strike action, Mr. Speaker. What we have here, Mr. Speaker, is impacting students today. This process began. This was impacting the education of our kids, Mr. Speaker. That's why we're before this House today. The President of the Nova Scotia Union was very clear that on Thursday, after the rejection by her membership, that she was going back to work to rule. That impact is happening on the education of our children. I would hope the Honourable Member would recognize that this government had to act and continue to make sure that the supports that students require to continue to make sure they finish out this year, whether they are aspiring to go on to university or whether or not they're needing supports to continue into the next grade, will happen in classrooms across this province.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And what I do recognize by speaking to all the teachers and parents is that integrity matters, especially in this House. Back in 2007, the Premier said, and I quote, our ailing health care system will not be fixed by picking a fight with the province's valued health care professionals. Will the Premier admit that what he said 8 years ago is true today still? Our ailing education system will not be fixed by picking a fight with the province's valued educational professionals.
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind the honourable member that we've been at the bargaining table. We've had three different agreements by two different executives in the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker, that have been sent out to their membership. Work to rule started in December. This is impacting students across the province. We're continuing to make those investments in classrooms across the province, and I'm looking forward. The teachers will be part of this conversation to directly come to us to tell us what's happening in their classrooms, Mr. Speaker.
The honourable member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you will be to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, in 2013, the Premier lectured the government of the day about negotiating with public sector unions. He said, and I quote, "The real foundation of any collective bargaining is the fact that the employer and the employee have to be at the table feeling equal, feeling that they are both feeling respected, feeling that they are both having their voices heard." Mr. Speaker, my question through you, when it comes to negotiations with the province's teachers, does this Premier believe teachers feel equal, respected, and that their voices have been heard?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, the two different executives, the teachers elected to represent them, the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, agreed to three different bargaining agreements, Mr. Speaker, three different ones that were negotiated at the bargaining table. I want to remind the honourable member the position that government took to the bargaining table is very different than the one that we agreed on. We changed the wage pattern, which was an increase. We talked about the long service award, a payout on retirement salaries, Mr. Speaker. We continued put money on the table that invested in classrooms. All of that, Mr. Speaker, was done at the bargaining table, listening to the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Obviously, Mr. Speaker, teachers have said very clearly they didn't like what happened at the bargaining table. The work to rule that has been an initiative by the Nova Scotia Teachers Union is impacting students today. We were hoping that we'd get a settlement. Last Thursday, when it was clear that the union said they were going back to continue to work to rule, we had a decision to make, Mr. Speaker. We're before this House today with a piece of legislation that will respect that to make sure that work to rule ends and also provide avenue for teachers to have their voices directly at that table.
The honourable member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Mr. Speaker, I read this quote directly and none of that was in it. I guess I'm not allowed to say the word I'm thinking of. Mr. Speaker, the Premier's 2013 lecture on labour negotiations included this statement. "In order for the agreement to have any kind of substance, both the employer and the employee have to feel valued, and at the end of the day, when that agreement is finished, feel like they've been heard." Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier is very simple. When did the Premier change his approach to negotiations from respect and equality to strong-arm tactics? Was it when he changed seats in the House and went to the government side?
The honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the honourable member for the question. I want to remind him, Mr. Speaker, it was at the bargaining table now for three different agreements, two different executives in the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. We've continued to work, Mr. Speaker. That was done at the bargaining table where both partners were equal, Mr. Speaker. We gave at the bargaining table, Mr. Speaker. Teachers have said they weren't happy with what their executive has brought back to them. But, Mr. Speaker, the decision today is about the decision for work to rule in classrooms that impacting students' education, and we're responding what any responsible government should do.
The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the past few months, the Minister of Education has frequently told the public about her disappointment. She's been disappointed with students. She's been disappointed in teachers. She's been disappointed with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think it's fair to say that many Nova Scotians are disappointed with her. So my question tonight is for the Premier. Mr. Speaker, does the Premier continue to have confidence in the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development?
The honourable Premier.
Yes.
The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm glad for that short answer because I have to say I'm very tired of hearing the Premier constantly trying to throw the union under the bus tonight. Mr. Speaker, the Education Minister's mandate letter from the Premier indicates she was expected to invest in and improve classroom environments that benefits both teachers and students. But it's clear to parents, teachers, and students that she's failed in this responsibility. So, Mr. Speaker, does the Premier believe that someone one who has poisoned the government's relationship with the teachers of this province continue to be Minister of Education?
The Honourable Premier.
I want to thank the Minister of Education for continued work that she's done on behalf of students across this province. Since I've known the Minister, when she joined this House in 2006, Mr. Speaker, has continued to fight for public education in this province, continued to fight on behalf of teachers and students across this province. I'll tell you, Mr. Speaker, I'm equally happy to find out that the Honourable Member has finally found her voice in opposition, because she didn't have it when she was sitting in this side of the House and the NDP Education Minister was cutting $65 million out of classrooms.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister
Order,
of Education.
Order, please. The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, the education system appears to be broken and is in need of major reform. There are several policies the department can put in place that don't require extra funding. To start creating an effective attendance policy, as well as developing programming to address behavioural challenges and supporting students coping with school demands. Will the minister admit their department could implement these policies at no extra cost?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm pleased to have the member mention the attendance policy. There is a draft attendance policy that we have ready at the department to go, but I can tell you during work to rule, teachers have been told that they were not to engage in any conversation with anybody from the department.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, teachers have raised these concerns several times. Students should receive the marks they earn, even if it means they fail. This helps reset a sense of personal accountability students will need as they exit the school system into post-secondary education in the workforce. Question to the minister, why is this government creating another committee, using more taxpayers' dollars, instead of requesting solutions from classroom teachers at no cost?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for the question to the member opposite. Engaging teachers in conversation is absolutely the way to get solutions to the problems that exist. And during the course of the last 3 years, there have been attempts from my office and from me personally to engage teachers in those very conversations. Each time, and I think I tabled it here before, I was asked by the union to refrain from speaking to teachers, that the union would be the voice for teachers. So it was very difficult to engage teachers. We want to make sure that teachers are part of the solutions here, and that's why you see in this particular act that they have a seat on those committees.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Mr. Speaker, the people have recognized on a number of occasions that the Premier and the Minister of Education have not been bargaining in good faith. Most recently, during a scrum, the Premier mischaracterized commitments that this government made about the third tentative agreement. Specifically, the Premier's comments about two self-directed development days and the $20 million outlined to improve classroom conditions caused mistrust and anger among teachers. My question to the Premier is, why did the Premier take such a hostile and confrontational approach to dealing with teachers?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I disagree with the question.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
So disagreement means we don't have to answer it, I guess, Mr. Speaker. That's a pretty good question. Teachers and students, parents, have lost confidence in the government to resolve this contract dispute. Faith in this government has significantly diminished since the Premier inserted himself in negotiations. Will the Premier admit that his damaged negotiations with teachers and his angry and confrontational approach has done this damage?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to remind the Honourable Member again, we had three agreements with two different executives in Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. All of that was achieved at the bargaining table. All of that were changes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind the Honourable Member, Mr. Speaker, that we had three different agreements with two different executives, Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Each time, Mr. Speaker, they were negotiated at the table. There was movement on our part on every one of those agreements, Mr. Speaker. We've continued, though, to hear the frustration from teachers across the province that clearly they want to have a voice that they didn't feel was there. We've now provided an avenue for classroom teachers across the province to have that voice heard.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Needham.
Mr. Speaker, what happened yesterday was another example of the Premier thinking he knows best. On Sunday, the Emergency Management Office and the Department of Transportation urged people to stay off the roads during the coming storm. That same day, the government announced the cancellation of Law Amendments Committee. Sunday night, the decision was made to close all provincial government offices for Monday. However, it wasn't until almost 2 p.m. on Monday that the resumption of the House of Assembly was postponed. Apparently, the Premier thought he knew better. Mr. Premier, will the Premier apologize to the commissioners, pages, caucus staff,
order, please. I'd like to remind the Honourable Member that it's not parliamentary to question matters that fall under the jurisdiction of the Speaker. Do you have a supplementary question?
I do.
Is it a question for me? If it is, you can take your seat.
Can we decide together?
Give it a shot.
Thanks. Mr. Speaker, at the risk of sounding overly cynical early in my political career, I have to wonder what the Premier's motivation was for refusing to back down on recalling the legislature during a severe blizzard. Mr. Speaker, was the Premier hoping no one would be able to see him plowing over teachers' rights during
order,
yesterday's
please.
Whiteout?
Order, please. That's a question for me. The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, the current state of classrooms in Nova Scotia is dismal. Some of the issues at hand are overcrowded classrooms, too many learning differences, and behavioural challenges for one teacher to address, and a lack of additional support outside the classroom. In fact, some reports of shortages of desks. Given the classroom conditions, teachers aren't able to effectively teach and students aren't able to learn. My question for the minister is this. Will the minister admit they failed students and the teachers?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would remind the member opposite that when the class sizes was brought to our attention 3 years ago, we certainly began to limit the class sizes, to put caps so that they would be a manageable number of students in the class. And we have implemented that for primary to grade 6 and have made it clear that we are moving on into grades 7 to 9. We know that the funding that goes to school boards is based on a ratio of 1 to 24. So when boards make decisions to have classes larger than 24, I think the question should be asked of the board.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, students for teachers and parents for teachers have been very vocal groups in supporting educators and support staff. These advocacy groups with frontline workers demand reform in our education system. They've come to the realization that something needs to change because the current system is falling apart. My question for the minister is this. Does this Liberal government want to be remembered for their inaction and for the failing the youth of our future?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would say that one of the things that this Liberal government will be remembered for is that it is the only government in the last 10 years that has taken every year and put...
Order, please. The Honourable Minister of Education.
Was the only government that every year consistently has invested more money in education than they did the previous year.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to return to my question again that the Premier didn't answer. 313 public service commission, or 313 contracts within the Public Service Commission, Mr. Speaker, are still left unsigned or negotiated. I asked the Premier if the attempt we see today with a contract being imposed on the teachers, will the Premier be doing that to the other bargaining units across the province? A very simple question, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to tell him that we're at the bargaining table with our sister organizations, continuing to negotiate, Mr. Speaker, to find resolution at the bargaining table, and it's my hope that we will find that resolution there.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, we heard from the opposition members in questions earlier about how the Premier approached negotiations when he was in opposition. I heard him when we were in government, Mr. Speaker. But yet today, we've seen 3 years of this government attacking workers' rights in this province. And with a hammer like Bill 148 in their back pocket, how does he expect negotiations to be fair across the public service if that's being held over their heads, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I know he knows that Bill 148 is about arbitration, Mr. Speaker. It is about parameters around arbitrators, Mr. Speaker. He would know that. He would also know, and I know he's been following this very closely, that we've had three different agreements with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. We continue to do at the bargaining table. He would also know that what he's referring to, Mr. Speaker, was when paramedics would be here. Paramedics did not exercise the right to strike, Mr. Speaker. They opposed a contract with opening at the table and allowing them to exercise their right. We continue to allow them to exercise their right here.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, this government's obvious lack of respect for teachers and students has caused significant impacts on what is available to help young people. The counselors and teachers put in more volunteer work to help students by mentoring them and offering support when they needed it. And by failing to negotiate fairly, Work to Rule has limited the ability to provide those volunteer hours to help children who may be struggling. So my question to the minister is, what impact has Work to Rule had on the mental health services directly and indirectly provided to students?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would be the first to say that the voluntary time that teachers give to their students is something that is to be commended. Teachers have done that for years. I did it as a teacher. I know the colleagues over there have done it as teachers. And teachers do that not because it's part of a contract. They do that because they care about the kids. And there are many teachers who will want to return to that, and we look forward to that, because that's what makes a good relationship between a student and a teacher.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
You know, Mr. Speaker, we've spoken about support of mental health services many times in this chamber, and all of us are aware of the risks associated with mental illness and the vulnerability of children in school. This is a critical time in their development, and the volunteer services and trusted relationships students may develop with their teachers, coaches, and others are very important. So, Mr. Speaker, as we look at the availability of these services, can the minister agree that by allowing the situation to persist over a number of contract negotiations, over a number of months and years, that they're potentially putting the health of students on the back burner?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we all recognize that there are a lot of issues in our society where people are suffering from some mental illness or some issues that
order,
cause
please.
Anxiety.
Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to government business. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. That concludes the government's business for today. The House will meet again on Wednesday, February 15th at 12:01 a.m. until 11:59 p.m. We will start with Opposition Day, which will run from 12:01 a.m. till 4:31 a.m., where we will resume government business whenever Opposition Day concludes, which we'll see second reading of Bill number 75. I as well remind members that late debate is still scheduled for 5:30 to 6 p.m. on tomorrow, Wednesday, February 15th as well. With that, Speaker, I move that the House do now rise to meet again tomorrow, Wednesday, February 15th from 12:01 a.m. till 11:59 p.m.
House. Oh, sorry. The House.